Welcome to the Weekly Transit, a podcast exploring the intersection of Western astrology and Jungian psychology. Astrology is a language that communicates how the planets and stars influence life on Earth, while psychology helps us navigate both conscious and unconscious experiences. Together, these tools offer the potential for self-understanding, growth, and transformation. Join astrologer Scott Tajarian and me, psychotherapist Gabriella D'Urso, as we dive into the cosmic forecast each week.
Hi, Gabriella. Welcome to the Weekly Transit. This week we are discussing the week of December 25th to the 31st. There are a lot of transits that we're highlighting this week, 12.
It's a big week.
12 transits that we're covering, but the highlights are really the full moon in Cancer and Venus transiting into Sagittarius. So we'll go ahead and get right into it. These first four transits are really happening kind of concurrently. So it feels like an astrological soup where we've got a lot of different ingredients, but they're all together. And so what does it mean that they're all together as opposed to individually? So these transits, just to cover real quickly, are the sun in Capricorn forming a sextile to Saturn in Pisces. The sun in Capricorn will also be forming a trine with Jupiter. The alignment with Saturn is happening from Saturday to Monday, so December 23rd to the 25th. The alignment with Jupiter is from the 25th to the 28th, so Monday to Thursday. That's when that transit is going to be felt most strongly. The other two transits are Mars in Sagittarius forming a trine with the North Node in Aries from Saturday to Wednesday, December 23rd to the 27th, and then Venus in Scorpio forming a trine with Neptune in Pisces, those same dates, December 23rd to the 27th, Saturday to Wednesday. All of these are positive, supportive aspects that are hopefully going to help ease our way through the holidays. If you've been feeling like the energy has been intense with Mercury retrograde, hopefully this will sort of smooth things over. It'll be a delicious astrological soup
yum.
To enjoy. Yes.
So part of the shift between the sun moving from Sagittarius into Capricorn is really moving from fire to earth, which for me immediately feels, I feel sort of like a deep breath there.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's just, I love the Sagittarius energy, but it's that energy of the you're shooting the arrow. Like there's just a lot going on. There's a part of this shift that's about grounding in, earthing. There's more, maybe some more stability. That sounds comforting to me. Might not be the case for everyone.
The thought of more stability sounds comfortable. So you're saying that you're comfortable going from Sagittarius to Capricorn.
For me, yeah, okay. That sounds comforting to me, like kind of grounding in to the end of the year energy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we're all being kind of eased into it a little bit with these positive aspects that the sun is making initially. Both of these were aligned with Mercury retrograde last week, but now the sun is moving where Mercury was last week. Mercury was moving retrograde and formed a trine with Jupiter and a sextile with Saturn. Now it's the sun moving forward, forming a sextile with Saturn and a trine with Jupiter. So when you think of these two aspects, especially the first one, the sun in Capricorn, the sun, the giver of light, life, and vitality, bringing that light, life, and vitality to the cardinal earth sign, symbolized by the goat, and ruled by Saturn. The sun is aligning with Saturn. Saturn, the god of wealth and time, the planet of restriction, responsibility, hard work, achievement, and authority. In the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish, Pisces. So I think of this first transit as bringing your dreams into reality, or holding yourself accountable for your dreams, for your fantasies. Taking responsibility for bringing that fantasy into reality.
Well, and that makes sense with the holidays. A lot of us have fantasies about what the holidays will be like, that we're hoping, fantasies we're hoping to bring into reality.
Like, this is like the child that's, you know, hoping that Santa brings the toy that they wished for. You know, I mean, that's really what this kind of, you know, when you say it like that, that's what I think about, is the authority helping you realize the dream, the authority being Saturn, the authority being the Capricorn energy.
This is assuming everyone is going to get what they want for either, you know, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever, whatever you celebrate. But yeah, that sort of, that hopefulness is definitely alive this time of year.
I hope so. I hope with these transits, Jupiter is the planet of luck and expansion. It's the planetary ruler of Sagittarius. It's transiting through the fixed earth sign symbolized by the bull, Taurus, the sun in Capricorn, cardinal earth, Jupiter in Taurus, fixed earth. I like to think that that is culminating like all the work that you've been doing all year. It's coming to fruition now. You can see your big picture that you had for 2023, it's starting to formulate. It's like you're starting to see it take shape and come into reality.
Well, you mentioned last week that Sagittarius energy kind of burns everything down, and then Capricorn is about rebuilding.
Yes.
So whatever your vision has been, you're now getting to build in practical terms that I imagine feels pretty satisfying.
Yes, and hopefully it's in alignment with your values. That it feels good, that this is why I started climbing up this mountain, and I'm very grateful for having done so, because I'm seeing that it is in alignment with what matters to me. Like, I've worked so hard, but it's been worth the work.
It's kind of a balance, though, right? I've worked so hard, and now there's still more to do.
Always.
This Capricorn season is about more. It's about work. It's about climbing the mountain, like we talked about last week.
So the two other aspects here are Mars in Sagittarius. Mars is the god of war, the planet of action, aggression, and conflict. Sagittarius is the mutable fire sign, symbolized by the archer, and it's aligning with the North Node in Aries, which the North Node is the soul's purpose, karmic pathway of the soul. It's Aries is the cardinal fire sign, symbolized by the ram and ruled by Mars. So really interesting that we have these synchronicities where the sun is in Capricorn aligning with Saturn in Pisces. Saturn is the planetary ruler of Capricorn. And then the North Node in Aries is aligning with Mars in Sagittarius. Mars is the planetary ruler of Aries. So this is a gift. It's a gift for you to open yourself up, to be honest through your actions, not just your words, your actions. Honest through your actions, being authentic in who you are. Are you being authentic in your self-expression?
Are you putting the work in to expressing who you really are? Whatever it is you're building, are you building something that's authentic? And this North Node in Aries is also aligning with the new year, bringing us into the new year in an interesting way, because Aries is about new beginnings. About authenticity, but also about cultivating a new identity, like starting a new cycle in some way.
Yes.
So really challenging ourselves to think in an innovative terms in regard to who we are and what it is we want to bring, what it is we want to bring into reality.
It's about who are you? Who am I? That's mm-hmm. the question with the North Node in Aries is who am I? Who am I?
What is my identity?
What is my identity?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So I think that...
How do I want to be perceived by others?
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like a beautiful invitation. And I think there's a bit of a shadow side in that too, that there can be a void before you've necessarily identified who you are or what new version of yourself you're ready to be. You know, maybe the person that you were in 2023, those same traits that you've cultivated are not necessarily the ones that will bring you through 2024 successfully. So there's almost like you're bringing in some new part of your identity and at the same time having to shed maybe an old layer to make room for that new part. So there's a little bit of a, you know, with this invitation of what are you birthing, there's a death process as well. That's also kind of symbolically represented in the ending of the year itself. Hmm. But there's a part of you that's also being invited to end.
Yes. I think the part that's you're wanting it to end is your fears and insecurities. That's the, when I think of the North Node in Aries, it's about facing your fears and insecurities. And Mars is transiting through Sagittarius, which is encouraging you to connect to a higher power, to give you the strength to face your fears so that you can be more like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you talk about transformation, I think of Scorpio, the fixed water sign symbolized by the scorpion and also ruled by Mars. But Venus, Lady Luck, the goddess of love and beauty, is transiting through Scorpio.
Hmm.
And as it is, it's forming a trine with Neptune, the mutable water sign symbolized by the fish and ruled by Neptune. Last week, we got a question from Cassidy about Venus in Scorpio and what that would mean for somebody who was born with Venus in Scorpio. And optimistically, I'm saying, you know, it means that you're going to experience, you know, something positive, you know, because Venus is Lady Luck, the goddess of love and beauty. So when it returns to where it was when you were born, that's positive. But the shadow side of that, which I didn't mention, but I should have, is that when Venus returns to where it was, it's like a reassessment to your senses. And if you were born with Venus in Scorpio, it might feel like your senses are being stripped down to the bone, raw, painful, because you're needing to transform in some way the way that you relate to others. Now, this is something that we all may be experiencing in some way, shape, or form because we're all experiencing this Venus and Scorpio transit. And it's really about transforming your senses and how you relate to others in a way that is more authentic to you. The connection to Neptune is allowing for compassion and empathy between you and the ones that you're bonded to.
And compassion and empathy for yourself as you step into authenticity.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Well, and part of, I think, this journey towards being more authentic, it can be a challenging one. It can also be really exciting because part of how we identify what is authentic for us is by being faced with what doesn't feel authentic. Sometimes it's kind of a process of elimination, I think. So there are parts of, it's kind of like the image coming to mind for me is like a game of bumper cars where you're like bumping into something that doesn't feel, oh, okay, that's not really it. That's not authenticity for me. You know, so let me go over here. Maybe this is authenticity. Boom. Okay, maybe not that either. So you keep going, trying to connect with your authenticity. And it's a process.
Yeah. So maybe part of this astrology soup in the beginning of the week is about finding yourself. And yes. When I think of Mars in Sagittarius aligning with the North Node in Aries, and what you just said, it makes me think of, like, you're on a journey. You're taking a courageous journey to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And through finding yourself, you're realizing that there are parts of myself that need to change, relationships that need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And you add that Capricorn, Saturn, Jupiter, all of that in the mix, and it's giving you a bigger picture of the mountain that you're climbing up, and you're like, is this me?
Mm-hmm.
Is this me climbing up this mountain?
Right.
Do I really want to do this? Is this where I should be?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer might be no. You get partway up the mountain, and it takes you that long to get clarity.
Well, I imagine that there's a lot of that happening right now with Mercury retrograde.
Sure.
A lot of doubt, mm-hmm. a lot of reflection, a lot of looking back and rethinking things and not thinking that things are really the way. It's like, this was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of want to pump the brakes on that, because before you make a drastic shift, you know, once Mercury goes direct, by the time we get to the end of January, you're like, why did I quit that? Why did I not do that?
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have made that impulsive choice. Or maybe you should have.
So there's a part here in this next week, but really, really for longer than this next week, about if there's discomfort, really allowing yourself to just sort of be with it without necessarily needing to take action.
Totally, especially with all the Pisces energy, with the sun aligning with Saturn in Pisces and Venus aligning with Neptune in Pisces, there needs to be a lot of introspection.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the early part of the week, or, you know, from the end of last week, Saturday, all the way to Wednesday, Thursday.
Mm-hmm. So it's some deep work.
Deep work. Deep work. And this is culminating with the next three transits that we're going to group together.
So we're adding more to the soup.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now it's like, you know, the soup has been eaten. And or partially, and you're like turning it into some sort of leftover dish, maybe.
Oh, it's like a mashup. Weird.
Or
it's getting weird.
Or maybe we're adding to the soup. Yeah, maybe it's like holiday leftovers. But the day after Christmas, it's Tuesday, December 26th. That is the full moon in Cancer, which happens the same day as Chiron ending its retrograde, Chiron going direct in Aries, which happens just as the third transit that we're going to talk about in this new astrological concoction. Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius, forming a square to Neptune in Pisces.
We're sort of talking about these transits, I guess we're trying to talk about them in groups because there's just so many this week.
In my moon cycle class, and this is also a pitch if you want to learn about how the next lunar cycle will be affecting you directly, you can enroll in my moon cycle class where we'll be discussing the new moon in Capricorn and the full moon in Leo. But in the last moon cycle class, which covered this full moon in Cancer, which we're about to talk about, I drew the chart of what the sky is going to look like for the full moon. And there are so many lines going all these different directions from all the different planetary connections that are happening at once, four of which we already spoke about, three of which we're going to speak about now. But they're all happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
The next three are the full moon in Cancer, which happens on December 26th, the same day that Chiron goes direct in Aries, the same day the Mercury begins squaring retrograde in Sagittarius, Neptune in Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
The transit of Mercury squaring Neptune is Tuesday to Thursday, December 26th to the 28th. So this is all happening at the same time. So we're adding to that soup of who am I? What is the mountain that I'm climbing to the top of? Can I be compassionate and empathetic to myself? What do I want to transform about my relationships, my intimate bonds? Can I be compassionate and empathetic? How can I be compassionate and empathetic to my partners? Well, the full moon is a release. It's releasing. It's the exhale. The inhale was the new moon back on December 12th, the new moon in Sagittarius, which was all about setting your intentions to remove the filter, connect to a higher power, speak your truth, live a life of adventure, exploration, freely, openly. So when you think about release and the full moon being in Cancer, this is the most powerful placement for the moon. Because the moon rules Cancer, the cardinal water sign symbolized by the crab. The moon is opposing the sun in Capricorn. So think about the steps that we're taking here. We go from Sagittarius to Capricorn. Sagittarius is the big idea, and Capricorn is the authority, the investor that says, I like the big idea, but I need to see the business plan. I need to see the steps that you're going to take to bring the big idea into reality. I need to see the steps that you're going to take to bring the big idea into reality. Then you add in the Cancer piece, which is the release. So when you think about the inhale, setting your intentions to connect to a higher power, to remove the filter, speak your truth, live freely, openly, honestly, a life of adventure and exploration. And then the release is that Cancer energy. Cancer is your roots, your upbringing, your childhood, the ones who raised and nurtured you, and your ancestors. It's the home where you were raised. It's the home where you live now. So what is involved in your past, your roots, your upbringing, your childhood, the ones who raised and nurtured you, your ancestors, your home life? What is it in those dynamics that is holding you back from speaking your truth, from being open and honest and living a life free, a life of adventure and exploration? That's the release. We want to release that. We want to release the burdens from the past, or the familial burdens, or the burdens within the home, so that we can be free and then move to that Capricorn energy, which is ascend. Because if you're going to climb to the top of the mountain,
you can't be weighed down.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's just such interesting timing, this full moon in Cancer, because so many people this time of year are spending time with their families. I guess the gift of that is that maybe you're hyper aware of what needs to die around your family dynamics.
Yeah.
You can bring a little notepad to your holiday dinners.
Yeah.
Okay. Got 10 items here that are ready to get rid of those.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and then the same day that the full moon is happening is Chiron stationing direct in Aries. So this is the wound and the ancient wisdom that is unlocked through healing that wound in the sign of self-confidence, the sign of authenticity, self-love, courage, the shadow side of which is arrogance, fear, aggression, anger. It's important to note that Chiron is at 15 degrees in Aries. It's important to note this because it's sitting here. And so if you are aware of your astrological code and you have any key planets or points at 15 degrees in fire signs, air signs, or cardinal signs, so the fire signs are Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. The air signs are Libra, Aquarius, and Gemini. The cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. So what's at 15 degrees in those signs indicates where you're experiencing a deepening of the wound or a deepening of healing the wound. And if you're feeling a deepening of the wound, it's because you need to pay attention to it so that you can heal it. Where Chiron is right now, today, the day of the full moon in Cancer, is exactly where it was on June 1st of 2022, September 6th of 2022, March 29th of 2023, and today. So wow. Four times over the last 2 years, Chiron has been at this exact same spot. And to give you like a broader spectrum, Chiron has been at 15 degrees in Aries from May 20th to June 27th, 2022, August 20th to September 18th, 2022, March 21st to April 7th, 2023, and November 21st, 2023 to January 30th, 2024. So my heart goes out to everyone out there that has something at 15 degrees in their chart in air signs, fire signs, or cardinal signs, because you're experiencing this intense wounding or healing of the wound, which can feel uncomfortable. And this is like the final assignment right here that's going to last until the end of January. And so a big part of that is that release with the full moon.
It reminds me of if you have a wound that's infected, the process of having to clean it out.
Yes. Oh, you put the hydrogen peroxide on the wound, or the salt or whatever it is you're doing to clean it. Does not feel good.
It doesn't feel good, but you know it's what you need to do to clean out.
Exactly.
And I think that's what you're describing. Like this sort of four-part process of cleaning the wound. Maybe you thought it was clean and now you have to come back and you realize there's kind of more to scoop out. But there's also, I'm thinking about the sort of death of, you know, the familial patterns or the ways that you're showing up in your family in juxtaposition with this North Node in Aries energy, where it's really sounds like a classic individuation process.
Tell me.
Well, when Jung first started talking about individuation, he actually has had his North Node in Aries. So he was really in touch with this idea of leaving part of your, leaving the family behind in some way and embarking out on your own. And now I think we understand individuation, that it has more complexity to it, that someone could be actually reconnecting to their family as part of their individuation process. You know, that you don't necessarily, that it doesn't necessarily look just one way for everyone. But this dynamic that you're describing is actually sort of this classic individuation journey where you're going out to find a piece of your identity. And in order to do so, you have to leave your family behind so that when you come back to them, you're able to bring that part of yourself back.
Wow. That's amazing. So that's it. That's the full moon in Cancer. And Chiron direct in Aries is like, in order to individuate, you have to release the family or release frequencies from your past.
I think it's too about like releasing part of your child self too.
Got to grow up.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder how many of us can relate to what I'm about to say. You know, sometimes you go home for the holidays and you end up sort of reenacting stuff from your childhood with either your siblings, your cousins, your parents. You know, we have a tendency to revert back to old patterns when we're around familiar people. And especially if you are someone who maybe lives far from your family and you don't see them that often, things can get kind of reactivated and constellated. So part of it is, part of this release too is like, which patterns and behaviors of yourself are you releasing that are connected to that your child self, your younger version of yourself? Because once you do that, that other person can't really kind of engage with you on that level because you're not there anymore, mm-hmm. because you've let it go.
Yes.
You're on this journey to go connect with your individuality, who you want to be, who you want to become, this sort of new beginning that you're cultivating. And then you can actually bring that back into your family system and shake things up. It's sort of, you know, up-leveling the group as a whole.
It's like our souls are malleable. And when you are, your relationship with your family, your soul is enmeshed in those dynamics where everybody is kind of contorted, their shapes have contorted into a certain, their souls have contorted into a certain shape mm-hmm. that fits them all together. And when you leave, your soul is stretching out, it's being mm-hmm. reshaped in some way. Then you come back to the family and you don't fit.
Hmm.
And so you either have to squeeze back into that spot, that role that you were accustomed to being in your family, or the family has to
make more room for you
and change as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when there is this friction, because people in your family are looking at you and they're upset that you're not who you were, or that you're not playing the role that they're accustomed you to you playing.
Right. And what they're really upset about, I think, mm-hmm. is that they then have to be different.
Exactly.
Right?
Totally. Yes.
They're being confronted maybe with the ways that they're not different.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be frustrating.
So that leads us to this next transit, which is Mercury retrograde in Sagittarius, squaring Neptune in Pisces. There's some hard truths that are coming out here. Mm-hmm. With Mercury in Sagittarius, it's like the mind, the words are spitting fire. And as this happens, you know, Mercury is forming a conjunction with Mars. So that's generating even more heat. From December 26th to the 28th, Tuesday to Thursday, Mercury is squaring Neptune. From December 27th to the 28th, Wednesday and Thursday, Mercury is conjunct Mars. And from December 27th to the 30th, Wednesday to Saturday, Mars is squaring Neptune.
Hmm.
So basically from Tuesday to Saturday, we've got a variation of a conjunction with Mercury, the messenger, the mind, the communicator, with Mars, action, the god of war, squaring Neptune, the dreams, the unconscious in Pisces. Mars and Mercury are in Sagittarius. How can you be honest with yourself and also compassionate? How can you be honest with others and also compassionate? Honest in the way that you're communicating, honest in the way that you're acting. It's not going to be easy. There's a lot of tension here. After the full moon, which is kind of odd, because like I always think of the full moon as like this release. It's like, okay, we got through that. But it feels like things might actually be ramping up later in the week after the full moon release because of this conjunction of Mars and Mercury in Sagittarius squaring Neptune in Pisces.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a ramping up process. And it also sounds like maybe holding the tension of the opposites between conflict that might be present and sort of the dream of what it would take to clear the conflict.
Mm.
And so sort of being able to hold both at the same time and not be, to whatever extent possible, not be completely consumed by the conflict or the confrontation.
And how do you not become consumed by it when these planets, Mercury retrograde and Mars, are squaring the unconscious mind? It's like, it feels like it's boiling your unconscious,
mm-hmm.
where we might be kind of swimming in this whirlpool. Like maybe something happened over the holidays that is now got you back at home and you're wondering, is my family my family?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I need to find a new family? Which, how do you do that?
So there's some disillusionment.
Yes.
A lot of questions.
Yes. And some confusion about the future.
Mm-hmm. Part of what I think is really powerful about the invitation for this time is to maybe practice learning how to be a witness to yourself, like to your own experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what can kind of ground you a little bit. So there might be a part of you that's in the whirlpool getting sort of spun around. There can be a part of you that's witnessing you, that's grounded, that's sort of holding down the fort.
I love the witness part.
Yeah, for those of us who've had psychedelic experiences, one of the values of doing that work, if you feel connected to it, is that it can help you practice that ability to be a witness to yourself.
Mm.
It's almost like
my life is the movie.
Yes, yes. There's a part of me having the experience, and then there's a part of me that's witnessing.
Yes.
And that's one way you're talking about self-compassion. Wow. Is that one way to really have compassion for yourself, is when you can witness yourself in some sort of a struggle, and then you can witness all of, you know, you start to see like your family system is like, you know, a game of chess, and everyone is just playing the part that they've been programmed to play through their astrological code or through their belief system or through their cultural ideology of what it means to be each member of the family. And you sort of zoom out and you immediately, there's a different level of understanding. And with that is compassion. And yes, you see how you're part of that puzzle too. And you just have so much power, you know, and you have so much more power when you can see things from that perspective. And I think there are other ways to do it besides psychedelics, but that's one way for me that I've been able to find that. I think, you know, mindfulness, meditation, there are other spiritual practices that can give you that sort of level of kind of differentiation within the parts of yourself.
Love all that. What's helped me the most is knowing the astrology of all of my family.
Mm.
Because in knowing the astrological codes of everyone who's going to be at the holiday gathering helps me take that observant view of not only myself, but observing them in a way that is somewhat detached for me from the experience, where I'm noticing voice inflection or conversation direction or how people are expressing themselves,
mm-hmm.
in whatever way that is in accordance with their astrological code.
Mm-hmm.
So it literally feels like I'm just in this video game, in a sense,
mm-hmm.
where everyone is playing their role.
Yeah, we all have our scripts.
Exactly, exactly.
Uh-huh.
And when everyone's just playing their role, there's a little less frustration. I mean, of course, there's still moments where I lose my mind.
Sure, we're all human.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, it's given me some more inner peace,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be able to just be a witness to how others in my family are behaving and understanding that in an astrological sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. So for our last three transits, we're discussing Venus as it moves into Sagittarius, which happens on December 29th, which is Friday,
mm-hmm.
which is Frigg. Frigg is the Old Norse god, which is the equivalent to the Roman god, Venus.
Hmm.
So Venus is transiting into Sagittarius on Venus Day. You know, in the Spanish language, Venice is Venus, and Viernes is Friday.
Hmm.
So it's a little more, it's like some of the Spanish words are easier to equate to the planets in terms of the days of the week than the English words, because a lot of the English words are based on the Old Norse tradition and not the Roman. So yeah. Frigg is Friday, but in the Spanish language, it's Viernes, which is Venus. So, but before Venus transits into Sagittarius, at the 29th degree, the final degree of Scorpio, it forms a sextile to Pluto.
Hmm.
This is happening on Thursday and Friday, the 28th and 29th. That's when we're going to feel this most strongly. Maybe you're feeling it on Wednesday too, but most strongly on Thursday, Friday. This is sort of the culmination.
Hmm.
We've been talking about Venus in Scorpio and what that means in terms of transformation of the senses and how you relate to others, especially those that you're most intimate with. But just like we were talking earlier in the week, how there's this magic with the sun in Capricorn aligning with Saturn in Pisces, Saturn, the planetary ruler of Capricorn, and the North Node in Aries aligning with Mars in Sagittarius, Mars being the planetary ruler of Aries,
mm-hmm.
we have that again here.
Hmm.
With Venus in Scorpio aligning with Pluto, the god of death, lord of the underworld, the planet of transformation, the planetary ruler of Scorpio, transiting through Capricorn. So Venus is in Scorpio aligning with Pluto, the planet that rules Scorpio. So it feels like everything is culminating to this moment where this is where the change occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the change needs to occur now. The transformation needs to be facilitated now. Because on Friday, Venus moves into Sagittarius. And that's when we talk about that Sagittarius burning everything down. That's when all the relationship stuff gets burned to the ground. It's like, I can't take it anymore. I'm done. I'm free. That's, you know, shadow side maybe. But the lighter side is, I see you now. I see you differently than I saw you before.
Hmm.
And I understand why you need and desire the freedom that you seek.
Hmm.
And I, as your partner, would like to give that to you. And I would hope that you would give me the same,
mm-hmm.
that freedom. So Venus is transiting through Sagittarius December 29th to January 23rd.
Hmm. So there's a real potential for a breakthrough.
A breakthrough.
Like there's definitely some conflict and some sort of intensity this week, but then there's really, like, if you put in the work required, there's the potential to be rewarded.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And the reward is freedom.
Hmm. It doesn't get better than that.
Yes. Freedom. To be in, there's a reason why Scorpio precedes Sagittarius. Because Scorpio is when we merge so closely, so tightly. It's like our souls are now together.
Mm-hmm.
They've taken shape as one. And I understand what it means to be you, and you understand what it means to be me. And through that understanding, there is only one course of action for both of us, and that's freedom.
Hmm.
Because if you know who I am, and I know who you are, then there's truth. And the truth will set you free.
Hmm. Well said.
This could be challenging for those with key astrological points or planets in Virgo or Pisces. Because Virgo and Pisces square Sagittarius. So be mindful of what planets in your astrological code are aligning to this Venus in Sagittarius between December 29th and January 23rd in a square.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be in Virgo and Pisces. If you're curious to know how this is affecting you, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. And then on Saturday, December 30th, is when Jupiter goes direct in Taurus. So now the only retrograde planets are Mercury, which will end its retrograde on Monday.
Yay!
January 1st. And Uranus, which ends its retrograde transit in Taurus the end of January. So things are starting to ramp up here.
Mm-hmm. There's been a retraction, and then there's an expansion.
Yes.
Coming.
Yes. And now is the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
The opening is happening now. Jupiter's going to start to expand because it's been contracting, moving backwards, squeezing us. And so
the planet of expansion has been retracting.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a paradox for you.
Yes, it's the planet of contraction. It's been the planet of contraction, right? So Jupiter is exactly where it was on June 11th. So think back to June 11th. What was going on in your life, that's where Jupiter is right now.
Hmm, okay.
And Jupiter, it began its retrograde on September 4th at 15 degrees. It moves out of its retrograde shadow. That will be on March 23rd.
Hmm.
So by March 23rd, hopefully we're really starting to move with this energy because Jupiter is going to be moving out of its shadow at that point. So Jupiter's been in its retrograde shadow from June 11th all the way until March 23rd of next year.
Mm, wow.
Just think of what has been going on in your life in terms of your self-worth, your values, your material well-being since June 11th. We're revisiting that area again for the third time. We felt it once from June 11th to September 4th. That's when it first covered this section of the sky. From 5 to 15 degrees in Taurus. Hmm. Then it moved back from 15 to 5 from September 4th to December 30th.
Hmm.
And then it moves forward again from 5 to 15 from December 30th to March 23rd. So this is the third incarnation, third lesson of self-worth, values, material well-being.
Mm-hmm. So depending on where you have Jupiter in your chart, that would help you understand what is contracting and expanding for yes. you in particular.
Yes, exactly. Like what key points or planets are in water signs, earth signs, or fixed signs
mm-hmm.
between 5 and 15 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So the water signs are Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. The earth signs are Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo. The fixed signs are Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius. If you have anything in those signs between 5 and 15 degrees, that will tell you where Jupiter is expanding or contracting. depending on the retrograde. Yes. Yes.
So that can just give you more insight into how to work with the energy, like how to kind of go with the flow, mm-hmm. so to speak, allow yourself to be expanded and retracted, and maybe take that point of view of being the witness to allow yourself to go through whatever that's about for you.
Yes.
More consciously.
Yes, exactly. Like if your Chiron, is it one of those points, one of those signs? Like if you were born with Chiron at 5 degrees in Scorpio, then this is an opposition and it's expanding the wound.
Mm-hmm.
And how you bond with other people, how you merge power with other people, and are you merging with people in a way that's in accordance with your self-worth and values?
So it's really helpful to identify what that is.
Yes. Okay, so that's the week. It's a lot.
It's a lot. I'm feeling the weight of this.
But also
the power of it. Like the power of the transformation that we're invited into.
Yes.
If we can be with all of these changes as consciously as possible.
So how would you recap the week?
I think there's a real sense of responsibility here.
Responsibility in terms of
doing the inner work and recognizing how that shows up in other areas of your life. Being accountable for who you are and who you want to be.
Yes.
And how is that affecting your family system? How are you moving forward in terms of what it is that you want to build? Like there's sort of a balance between introspection and then a more invitation to be more extroverted and to start actually like taking steps forward.
I love it.
What about you?
I like responsibility in terms of the inner work. You know, that's the Pisces energy. It begins there and it continues on into responsibility for yourself and being authentic and who you are, what you're worth, what you desire, what you want from relationships, so that you can be free.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frequency of the week for me.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. So we have several questions. We've got a little bit more time. Even though this was a full week, we were able to kind of synthesize it well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of us.
we're finding our way.
Mm-hmm. So first up, Beth asks, "Hello, friends. I was wondering if you both would share where your north nodes are and how you've seen that energy play out in your life journey."
Who's going first?
This is a great question.
Yeah.
Well, I think I should go first.
Okay.
Because I'm a north node in Aries.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Beth, I really appreciate this invitation. And I think the way this has shown up for me, north node in Aries means my south node is in Libra. For me, it's been about a willingness to be with conflict. You know, my south node in Libra and also my sun sign is Libra really has had me in much of my life in a holding pattern of being really preoccupied with harmony and wanting to experience peace, inner peace, which in and of itself, I think is a beautiful aspiration. But I've learned that by following my north node in Aries, by engaging with conflict when it appears to me, that working through the conflict is actually what brings me peace instead of avoiding the conflict.
Exactly.
And that's been and continues to be a major theme for me in terms of my life's work. And I see my whole journey towards becoming a therapist to be really aligned with my north node.
How so?
Well, just to compare it to my previous career, I was working in the fashion industry, and my goal going into that industry was just to focus on making the world a more beautiful place. It was really, in a way, orienting myself towards my south node. And I found that parts of that career were fun for me, but I also knew that something was missing. And not to say there wasn't conflict at work, because there's always conflict. Especially if you're a north node in Aries, the conflict will find you and you'll be forced to reckon with it. But I think being a therapist is about supporting other people in supporting my clients in being willing to face their own conflicts. And that's, you know, when we go to therapy as a client, when you show up in that way, you may or may not be conscious of what specifically your conflicts are, but you feel them and you know they're there, and there's a desire to work through them. So in supporting others in facing their conflicts, I'm also engaging with conflict.
Exactly. You have to have the courage to help them through their conflicts.
Absolutely.
Which can be uncomfortable. Yes.
But I've realized the real gift in, and you're the one who taught me this, Scott, that what we all want is that south node frequency. That's what's comfortable for us. Mm-hmm. But in order to achieve the south node frequency, we have to engage with the north node energy.
Yes.
And it creates almost like we have to loop back in a way.
it's one of those things that you have to like retrain your brain. Where it's like you want to go left, but in order to go left, you have to go right.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to go and orbit the circle in the other direction. Yeah,
exactly.
To really kind of complete the journey.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I think for me too, I used to think that avoiding conflict was keeping the peace. But it was keeping the peace sort of externally in a superficial way, but it was creating a lot of inner conflict and inner suffering for me. By sort of pretending that the conflict, the external conflict wasn't there.
Yes.
So it's been a journey, and I don't have other Aries energy in my chart, so I don't really have any other part of my personality that I can sort of lean on. I've really had to pull from deep within.
It's a big challenge.
It's a challenge. I would even say that the decision to be on this podcast is part of my north node as well.
To put your face out there. Aries rules the face.
To put my face out there, and also just to have courage that whenever you, Scott, say something to me on the podcast, that I'm going to think of something to say in return, that I'm not going to freeze and, you know, crumble to the floor because I don't know what to say.
You always have something to say, though. The thing is, do you have the courage to say it?
Do I have the courage to say it?
Exactly.
Yes.
Because when the camera's off, you have no problem sharing your perspective. Mm-hmm. When the camera's on, it's like, oh, there's people watching.
Uh-huh. I've got pressure's on.
Gotta monitor every word that I'm saying. Yeah.
Those are two big examples how my North Node has shown up for me in my career. And even I would consider this podcast as an extension of my career because I'm talking about psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Amazing. So it's a work in progress.
Yes. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. So thank you for the question, Beth. Because this answering this question is also my North Node in Aries.
Exactly. Totally.
We're getting really meta here, but yeah, it's all connected.
Awesome. Thank you, Beth, for the question. My north node is in Scorpio, the deepest, darkest, most passionate sign, the fixed water sign symbolized by the scorpion and ruled by Mars, like Aries and Pluto, the gods of death and war. That's why Scorpio is the deepest, darkest, most passionate sign. So it's my soul's purpose to really get into those deep, dark, sticky, uncomfortable areas, to be willing to be vulnerable with others and to allow others to be vulnerable with me. Like what Gabriella was saying in terms of her work as a therapist, it's similar to me with my work as an astrologer, especially the work that I do with the clients that I meet with on a weekly basis, because we get into some deep, dark, sticky areas. You know, mm-hmm. I get involved in other people's business. Mm-hmm. And that is Scorpio, is getting involved in other people's business. And it can be uncomfortable sometimes because my clients' problems are my problems. You know, their struggles are my struggles. If I have a client that's struggling, then I am with them in the mud mm-hmm. through the struggle, hearing all their insecurities and fears and vulnerabilities, receiving them, and then helping them transform, mm-hmm. which is what Scorpio is ultimately about. It's about transformation. It's the phoenix rising from the ashes. It's the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, the grape into the fine bottle of wine, or the rock into the diamond. Mm-hmm. That's the energy of Scorpio. So my south node is in Taurus. So what I want more than anything is to be rich, to make money. And,
and to keep it all for yourself.
But the more that I've throughout my life been chasing the dollar, the further I get from it.
Hmm.
I find that the more that I just invest in other people and help others transform, the more money I make.
Hmm.
And that's the magic there.
Yes. I think too, just in the, so we've been together almost 5 years
mm-hmm.
and just how different, how much you have transformed in the yes. time that I've known you.
Totally. We both have.
We both have, but I would say especially
me,
especially how you.
So?
Well, I attribute it to this, to your North Node, but also I think you have a real gift in your chart because your sun is in Scorpio. So your sun is aligning with your north node. My sun's aligning with my south node.
Well, my sun is actually conjunct my north node. It's at the exact same degree. But
so that's you, just a supportive
you would think
element.
But at the right? same time, you know, it took me over 40 years to find my way to my north node. I always, like the sun, people see that in my chart, like, oh, the sun is conjunct your north node, so that must be easy for you. But think about it in terms of, like, if you are in a dark movie theater in the middle of the summer and you walk out the back door and you're in the sunlight, you're staring right at the sun, it blinds you.
Hmm.
So I always knew within me that, like, okay, I'm here for a purpose. Mm-hmm. From the time I was a child, I mean, maybe like 4 or 5 years old, I knew that I was here for a purpose, a great purpose. But it took me over 40 years to figure out what that was.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to say it's been easy. I don't think anyone experiences their North Node placement to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that it's aligning with your identity now, I see how that's just a supportive
it is,
part for you.
It is supportive. At the same time, my south node is in Taurus. My rising sign is in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of me that just deeply wants material security. It's mm-hmm. the essence of my soul is it wants material security. So as a child, you know, I was always thinking about like, okay, how am I going to make money? You know,
hmm.
and being in business.
As a child, you were thinking about that?
Oh, God, yes.
That's so
yes.
interesting.
I wanted to be rich as a child. I mean, my cousin who's a Taurus, you know, who is, you know, pretty well off, I think. But he's, you know, this is one of my earliest memories of him was like he loved the show Richie Rich, the cartoon.
Yeah.
And he's like 4 or 5 years older than me. And he loved that show. And so I love that show. And he loved the show Silver Spoons, you know, which was this show with Jason Bateman and Ricky Schroeder. And, you know, it was about like these rich kids. And so like this was like my childhood sort of story of like, oh, yeah, I want to be rich and all this sort of stuff. But the more that I got to being not even like adulthood, but like when I was 16 and I got my first job and I was working for my two cousins who I viewed as rich. You know, they owned their own company. I was employed by them, but I did not see two happy men. I saw people that were suffering and in pain. And so I started to get this hint that, oh, money doesn't bring happiness because I see people that have money and they're not happy. They're actually miserable. That made me think like I need to do something different than just going after the money. But it still took me over 40 years to really figure out what it meant to be in this frequency, which I ultimately found as helping others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it just took you some time to find the way that felt best for you to be merging with other people.
Yes. So
I think you were merging before, but it wasn't necessarily through your work. And so it wasn't feeding you.
That's the nuance of this Scorpio North Node. I should also mention too, is like you're learning how to be vulnerable with others and you're not meant to be vulnerable with every person. You're learning how to exchange magic, share energy. Like I would be involved with other people and I'd be giving so much, but I would be feeling drained.
Right.
Depleted.
Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't protecting my magic. Right. I wasn't protecting my energy. You know, in merging with you, I've been able to find that feeling of being uplifted. Mm-hmm. Where you've been such a great support to me energetically and encouraging me to follow my work here as an astrologer, because when we met, I was not a professional astrologer. I was kind of, you know, making a little money on the side, but I was working in a restaurant. And so, you know, now I'm a professional astrologer and your support was a big part of that success and still is. You know, I found that in my younger years, I would just give my energy away to other people and I was getting nothing in return. It was just taken, taken, taken.
So you were doing your part to merge, but the other person wasn't merging with you in the same way.
The vulnerability
needs, with the right intentions,
exactly.
I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's two people that need to be vulnerable, not just one.
Right.
Bending over backwards, transforming for the benefit of another to support the other while receiving nothing in return. No, that's black magic that's being practiced on you. If that's your experience, if you feel drained, and you're especially if you have Scorpio energy or you're a North Node in Scorpio, if you feel drained by somebody, they're practicing sorcery on you. Not that they're even aware of it. They could be under a spell. And so you need to either bring the death of that relationship, Scorpio, or the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully you can get through to that person, let them know that, look, what's going on here is draining me. I feel depleted by this interaction. Hopefully they will recognize that and say, I'm so sorry. What can I do to fill you up? What can I do to support you? Because you're supporting me so much, how can I support you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beauty of my work as an astrologer, is the support's very clear. My clients are paying me.
Right.
And I'm supporting them, and they're feeling like the support that I give them is enough that they want to pay me for that support.
Absolutely.
And that's the exchange. So I feel lifted, and they feel lifted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful.
Yes.
And our last question for today, Juliet asks, what is the significance of an empty house in your birth chart?
I love this question. This is a question I get a lot, you know, like especially from people that I'm doing like first time readings for, that they have an empty fifth house, the house of children. Oh my God, I'm never going to have children. Mm. And I always have to remind them that I have a client who has an empty fifth house and has like 8 children. So it doesn't mean that. Or if I have an empty house of marriage, empty seventh house, it means I'm never going to get married. It doesn't mean that. I like to think of the houses as sort of like food. So if you have an empty house, that's an apple. If you have a house with multiple planets in it, that's apple pie. It's just more ingredients. you want to know if the house is empty, what sign is that house in? So like your ascendant, your rising sign, that's the first house. If you're a Capricorn rising, your personality is the expression of Capricorn. If there is, say, Pluto in the first house, then you will go through many transformations of your personality. If Mercury's in your first house, then you're going to be somebody who is very authentic in your communication. So we're adding those ingredients to the dish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same as if your fifth house is empty, let's say, but it's in Libra. The fifth house is the house of children, which represents not only actual children, but the energetic expression of children. Having fun, playing games, dating, love life, romance, being creative, expressive, dramatic. If your fifth house is in Libra, then it means that what fun is for you is in partnership. That anything that you do, that you're going to have the most fun if you are doing it with another person. And it has something to do with beauty or something that brings you peace and tranquility. Whereas if your fifth house is in Scorpio, what's fun for you, and say the fifth house is empty, but it's in Scorpio, what's fun for you is the magical, mystical realm. Pulling the tarot cards, you know, doing the numerology, the astrology, getting into that psychic realm. That's where you invest in your creative nature.
I like thinking of it as food. Like for me, an apple versus apple pie indicates like there's more kind of purity of that apple energy when it's an apple.
Totally.
It's not touched by any of the other ingredients, so it's not transformed. It's not a mashup of, you know, multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure. It's more like the frequency of it is simpler, simplified.
Yes, exactly.
More direct.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because like if you're born with the fifth house in Scorpio and you love to do all of the mystical, magical activities for fun, but Saturn's there in the fifth house in Scorpio, that means that you may struggle with that as well. You may struggle with believing that there is magic, that the tarot cards do work, that the psychic is really telling you something that you need to hear that's true to yourself. You may struggle with that, and you may have to work at finding a way to bring that into your reality that feels more tangible for yourself so that you can enjoy what that means.
Absolutely. And to use a metaphor that you like to use a lot of astrology is music. You could say an empty house is a particular note that's being played versus when you add planets into that house, it's adding either complementary or discordant notes.
Yes, exactly.
And you're hearing you're trying to hear different notes at the same time, and they start to kind of color one another.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Totally. You know, it's like if you think of music, it's like no, there's nothing in the house. It's just a single guitar playing, or somebody singing a cappella. But then a planet in there, you bring in another instrument. You know, maybe the instrument is not really meant for the song, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some
maybe
challenges.
Maybe it's a drum beat that doesn't really work.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's like there's the, you know, the Spanish classical guitar playing, and all of a sudden there's, you know, like a rap beat in the background to it. And maybe that sounds cool. Like, who knows? Yeah. Maybe it does. But yeah, it's all mixed in. But every house means something, whether there's a planet there or not.
Yes.
It does. And so, you know, if there's no planets there, then it's understanding the energy of the sign that the house is in.
Yes.
And that tells you what that house is about for you.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome. Thank you, Gabriella. And thank you to our audience. And we will see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Transit. If you're curious to learn how these transits or any others may be affecting you, or if you're interested in learning more about your astrological code, contact me for a reading at theweeklytransit.com. If you're interested in delving into the world of psychotherapy with Gabriella, you can connect with her at innervisionpsychotherapy.com. Wishing you all the best as you ride the planetary waves.